Hey, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And our producer this morning is a young fellow by the name of Jordan. First time he's done this show. So, not the first production he's ever done here at the station. He does a number of the shows usually later in the day on Saturday, starting with, I don't know, some obscure shows in the evening. But you can give him a workout here this morning if you'd like to. We're anticipating that Carrie Kennedy will be calling us to talk about coastal fisheries at 6 o'clock and maybe a few more surprises along the way. However, in the meantime, we'd like to talk to you at 410-WCBM-680. That's our phone number. That's our call letters and our location on the dial, WCBM 680, also translates to 922-6680. Now, you can put a 410 in front of that if you're in the local dialing area or if you're, you know, calling from outside the immediate Baltimore area, maybe Frederick or Southern Maryland or Eastern Shore or something like that. 800-922-6680 is our phone number. And we're taking your calls. If you're headed out fishing today, we'd love to hear from you. Where you're going, what you're doing, who you're fishing with, and that type of thing. Or, you know, maybe you're going to give crabbing a shot. Good luck. And we can talk to you about anything and everything that you'd like to talk about in the outdoors. A lot going on out there, this being late spring. A lot of critters are hatching, and you're starting to see some young ones. All the waterfowl pretty much have hatched, and the goslings and ducklings are growing. The foxes and all the other mammals have pretty much bred and started the new populations. Now, just getting into the deer dropping their fawns, I'm seeing a number of does hit along the roadside, and what precipitates that is the fact that they're either on their way to give birth or they've given birth to two fawns and they've stashed them, sometimes up to 300 yards apart. It's a survival thing. They put one over here and one over there, and then the doe goes about her normal day and keeps within earshot and smell and communications of all the young fawns. And occasionally she'll get hit crossing the road on her way from one to the other. And it's a sad situation. However, that's the way it goes. However, people they think about deer and breeding season in the fall. They don't think about fawning season in the spring. And that'll continue till through the next month or so. And maybe even a little bit into July for those does that were bred early this year. The gestation period for a white-tailed deer is 200 days. So if you figure November, 200 days from November or December or even January, well, then you can figure it out. So, good coffee. 410-922-6680 is our phone number, 800-922-6680. And again, we'd like to talk to you. A lot going on. We were just checking out some of the news here today. This past week, as I mentioned last week, Diamond Jim, the tagged rockfish, he and bunches of imposters, up to 200 fish were caught the other day, caught, tagged, and released. And it was, I guess it was a good day in the water. I haven't talked to anybody who was out there, but normally that's a pretty good day. In the rush to get the press release out, a couple errors were made, but we're not going to point them out because, you know, we were blamed for criticizing the DNR press office with a one-sentence mention during a speech not that long ago. So, you know, we're not going to point them out when they come anymore. I mean, we'll just let them go. What do you think? Should we? I don't know. Sometimes you just can't help it. Now, I'd like to quote our governor. He spoke to 1,200 students, teachers, and administrators at the Maryland Green School Youth Summit yesterday, an annual event to celebrate the state's green schools and showcase hands-on environmental learning and restoration activity. Wait a minute, let me read this. Let me start this again. I'm not being critical. Just this morning, Governor Martin O'Malley spoke with 1,200 students, teachers, and administrators at the Maryland Green School Youth Summit, an annual event to celebrate the state's green schools and showcase hands-on environmental learning and restoration activities conducted by students throughout the year. I might have broken that down into two sentences, but and I might have hyphenated hands-on, but, you know, hey. The event, which was held at Sandy Point State Park and the Green Schools Program, are sponsored by the Maryland Association for the Environmental and Outdoor Education, COMA, key members of Governor O'Malley's Partnership for Children and Nature. Again, a little bit of a run-on, but hey, I'm not being critical here. Today, 425 Maryland schools are certified green. No explanation of what that means, however. The summit also marked the release of the 2013-14 Maryland Bay game. Now, here's what caught my attention. The quote of Governor Martin O'Malley. I hope you understand what a beautiful, beautiful gift God has given us in the Chesapeake Bay and what an awesome responsibility to have to pass her on to the next generation. I love you guys very, very much. I'm proud of you, and we need you, said Governor O'Malley. Very presidential. I hope you understand what a beautiful, beautiful gift God has given us in the Chesapeake Bay, and what an awesome, man, responsibility we have to pass her on to the next generation. I love you guys very, very much. I'm proud of you, and we need you, said Governor O'Malley. We, you and I, get the privilege of passing the Chesapeake Bay on to the next generation. Okay. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Help me out, please. Give Jordan a little on-the-job training here this morning by calling and discussing whatever you would like to talk about. You're running the show this morning, folks, at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Emails are welcome at ellisoutdoors.com. My email address is Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, my last name, at, that little A and a circle symbol, ellisoutdoors.com. We also invite you to, enjoy the website. And when you go to ellisoutdoors.com, you'll see links there for the other websites for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. Latest edition is up. And Maryland Loves Crabs, which is soon to change. We're putting the finishing touches on the layout and getting that ready to go to print on Monday. And Maryland Loves Crabs will be out here shortly. So we have actually doubled the size of the magazine in its coverage, in its amount of advertisers, and its scope. And we hope that you will enjoy the little conglomeration of crabbing information that we have compiled for you this year. And we've got a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff, a lot of different folks contributing a fair amount of stuff. So I'm not going to preview it for you here, but once it hits, we'll be more than glad to talk about it. But whatever you want to talk about. All right. Since you're not going to cooperate this morning, doggone it, I'm going to take a short little break. So I am. We're going to play some commercials for you. I'm going to tell you about the Maryland Fishing. Time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge from now through Labor Day. All you have to do is go fishing and Diamond Jim, a tagged rockfish worth $10,000 right now or more, is swimming in the Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too. And they're even worth $500 apiece. So catch a rockfish with a bright green tag and call the number on the tag. You might have just captured a $10,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, it's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center or check your fishing rule book, or even visit www.maryland.dnr.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Start your day at 6 with Maryland's wake-up call.
Sean and Frank.
Then at 3, get Hannitized on the ride home.
With Sean Hannity.
Only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And WCBM.com.
Day by day, I did snow and rain and bright sunshine.
Dragging the line out there trolling for those rockfish. Let's talk to Josh in Mount Airy. Good morning, Josh. How you doing?
All right, Alan. How are you, sir?
Great. How can I help you?
Catching up on some podcasts on the 18th day, May 18th show.
Yeah.
You had a caller asking about your doing charitable work. And
right.
Just wanted to say thank you for emceeing our banquet, the Baltimore chapter, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and we appreciate you.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that. And, well, I've done a little bit more of that this year than usual, which is pretty cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I just had a comment maybe for your listeners. Of course, turkey season's over now, but we have a farm in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Okay. What part?
And
what county?
Over the years, the predators seem to be populating quite well. We know we have bobcats, and we've got a lot of coyotes.
No doubt.
And this year, I got to hunt two weekends up there, and we seem to be noticing that they're not gobbling, and I don't know if it was common this year throughout or whether other people with increasing populations of predators are seeing them
just being quiet because of the predators.
Yeah, exactly.
Good question, Josh. Very good question. And I'll try to find the answer out for that. It may certainly make sense. But the other part of that is that unless you were there Youth Day at the very tail end of the hen acquiring season, those birds were already henned up when the season opened here. And it probably didn't break loose until the last 2 weeks when the afternoon hunting was available. Those birds were just locked onto hens the whole, the first half of the season, from what I can gather from talking to everybody. Not that there wasn't limited success and good success in some cases, but that was the word I got going into the Maryland season. From Western Maryland, the birds were with the hens, and they didn't need to do a lot of gobbling because they had already gathered their harem. So I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
It does. Pennsylvania starts 1 or 2 weeks after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maryland, and I hunted the last two Saturdays
and nothing. Huh?
I ended up getting a Jake, but
yeah.
I know the turkeys are there in deer season,
Yeah.
It's not unusual to see flocks of, 50 or more.
Yeah.
Together.
Well, that's a good question. A coyote in particular is tough on them. I mean, many even 20 some years ago, now I don't know what county your farm is in, but we hunted in Huntington County, and we had coyote depredation on the turkeys at that point 20 some years ago. And foxes are tough on them in the spring because the pups are getting ready to come out of the den, and the adults are taking the hens on the nest if they can find them, So,
well, I was just interested. My cousin and I were, just kind of sitting in the fence row there, wondering why they weren't gobbling. And we hunted the last two Saturdays.
Yeah.
They're there. They just weren't talking. And
are they hammered a lot by hunters up in that area? I mean, do they,
Well, I mean, it's Pennsylvania. I mean,
yeah, that answers that question.
As far as our farm, we have, it's 152 acres. And
yeah.
Then one farm next to us is probably 300 acres, and that's managed by a few people. So
yeah.
There's a pretty good block.
I'm just wondering if they've heard every imaginable turkey call by the end of that, by the end of the season.
They may have.
Yeah.
But, my cousin lives right there, and he hunts it as much as he can.
Sure.
And he said the whole season was pretty much like that.
Yeah,
so
it was.
Just our, uneducated thought.
I understand.
We had no coyotes, and we're to the point now within probably 5 years.
Yeah.
He's seen them twice. I've never seen one, but if we camp out overnight there.
Yeah, you can hear them.
You hear them every night.
Yeah.
So,
you may have to take.
If anybody else has any experience with that, I'd be interested.
I know, we'll find out. I know all the turkey folks are down at Meyer Station today helping out. And did you, by the way, did you know Carlo Bruneri?
No.
From Wild Turkey Federation. Nicest guy in the world, passed away the other day, and so our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Very active in the Central Maryland chapter, so we got that news and just wanted to pass that along. So, but Josh, look, I don't know the answer per se to that question, but I would say that the coyotes are definitely a factor. You know, the birds aren't gobbling for one reason or another, and let me see what I can find out for you.
Okay, Alan, I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man, thanks.
All right, take care.
Yep, see you later. Bye. Bye-bye. There he goes. Good guy, Josh. Stan, good morning. Thanks for holding on.
Good morning, Mr. Allen. Speaking of coyotes, I just come out of Fogelsberg off of Route 30.
Yeah.
I'm down on 795th Street now. One of the farms over on my right-hand side, that was no fox. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I looked, I went.
That ain't a fox.
And you were start talking about coyotes.
Yeah, well,
I got a question for you, Mr. Allen. I was going to call you at work, but this is a blessed morning for me. I'm going to hear you for about another 45 minutes to an hour before your station, my Peterbilt, does not recognize 50,000 watts.
All right.
Get it out 70 in a little bit. One of my compatriots called me Thursday and said to go down to Bart's as soon as possible before Friday and sign a petition that they were going to try to bring to Annapolis to bring the gun ban vote to,
right.
The referendum.
Yeah, referendum, right.
And the last I heard, and I could be wrong, but the last I heard on this frequency, or 680, was that they were going to wait and, with help from the NRA, take it to the Supreme Court. And I questioned it. I went to Bart's. I asked, I believe it's Randy.
I don't know those folks down there.
Bart's. I'm sorry. Oh, God, forgive me, Clyde. I asked Randy and Mr. Clyde, and they really didn't seem to know too much about it. I did it anyway,
mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sure.
Well, Friday was the deadline. By June 1st, right. There had to be X number of signatures on a petition.
Right, and that's the only place that I, you know, Clyde's was the only place I heard of.
There's a number of shops that have it, and here's the deal on that. My question to you as a gun owner, do you really want to put your Second Amendment rights in Maryland to the vote of the general population?
It's scary iffy.
It's what?
It's scary iffy.
Scary iffy. Yeah, it's more than scary iffy, because the surveys have already been done that if the gun ban goes to referendum, it will be upheld by the voters in Maryland. Okay. Already, I mean, pretty much a foregone conclusion. So, I mean, barring a miracle, and I'm not saying it can't happen.
Right.
The better course of action, in my opinion, is a court challenge, and to take it as high as it can possibly go, even if it has to go to the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has always ruled in favor of the Second Amendment.
Right. See, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So
this is Maryland.
It is Maryland. So if it goes on the ballot and the measure, the gun ban is upheld, then where are we? The other thing that does, if enough signatures are gathered, the other thing that does is, it forestalls it till the 2014 election, the law going into effect. But do we want a permanent solution or do we want a year and a half solution?
Well, sir, the only thing I can tell you was I did what I thought I had to do.
Look, everybody has to do what they feel they have to do.
Right.
So if you feel you want to sign a petition, that's totally up to you. That's your thoughts. If you think that signing a petition and putting the governor's gun ban on the ballot is the prudent thing to do, then that's your call.
Well, I did it, and I got my fingers crossed that.
Okay.
It's not going to, it's going to go to court.
Well, see, that's the other thing that it does. It forestalls the lawsuit until after the 2014 election. Whereas if the ban is allowed to go into effect without a referendum challenge on October 1st or October 2nd, when the law goes into effect, it can be immediately challenged and the court case can go forward more than a year in front of the 2014 election.
So would
So if it goes to referendum, you're not going to get a court battle until after the 2014 vote. And then after the 2014 vote, if it becomes law of the land, that kind of weakens the court case, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. With the powers that be, now that I have signed the petition, second guess, or, you know, like, I'm going to say second guess, the ones that did sign it, like, kind of hold off on that until...
Maybe they won't get enough to put it on the ballot. But if they do, we're done. You know, we're done until after the 2014 election. No lawsuit can go forward. The law won't go into effect on October 1st. But what kind of a temporary situation is that?
That's true. That's true. Well, I didn't hear too much about it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get through and talk to anybody that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, stronger minds than my, that were prevailing at the time.
And yeah.
The only thing I thought I could do.
Well, maybe you need to have a discussion.
You need to have a
discussion with whoever asked you to go in and sign that petition and discuss what we've just talked about.
I do believe he's listening right now, if I may say. Good morning, Mr. Chris.
Morning, Mr. Chris.
He keeps me abreast of what's
going on. Well, then he should have told you about my opinion on a petition drive.
I don't think he heard that.
I said it several times.
Because that's what I said to him, and then, you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right.
Well, anyway, that's the way it goes.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. I'll listen as long as I possibly can.
And it's just Allen.
Every Saturday morning.
I appreciate it, Stan. Thanks. Be safe out there, and run over a few coyotes out there on 70 if you get a chance.
It gets my truck dirty.
What?
It gets my truck dirty.
All right. You
take it. Right,
see you, buddy. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, geez. That's always fun. Always fun. So it is. All right. Well, speaking of Clyde's Sports Shop, and not the other guys, Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway exit number 9. You get off the Beltway there, and you get down to Hammonds Ferry and make that turn, go out the end of the street there, and they're right there. You'll find them. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. And, they've got firearms. They've got Browning firearms. If you're looking to get ready for deer season or you're headed out west, check out the X-Bolt. Bolt action rifle from Browning, extremely accurate. I have the Forerunner, the A-Bolt, the Browning A-Bolt, which I really enjoy shooting. It's 300 Win Mag, taking some game with it, and I think that you would find the X-Bolt just as exciting. It's got any standard high power rifle caliber, any Magnum, any short Magnum, it's all available. They have an adjustable feather trigger and a detachable rotary magazine, which makes it really nice. And then for those of you who are into shooting sports, the 725 Satori sporting clays gun is just great for all, you know, skeet and trap and all the shooting sports. And they even have a field model available in that, which is a beautiful over and under shotgun, you know, set up for upland bird hunting if you like to do that. It's got the triple trigger system, the Vector Pro lengthened forcing cones, and 5 Invector DS choke tubes, and a ported barrel, which reduces recoil, which is really nice. And don't forget, they have all the fishing supplies, too, for anything from rockfish to panfish. Clyde Sports Shop has been around since 1957. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. The website is clydesports.com. And you can call the fishing hotline if you want, 410-247-FISH, 247-3474-247-FISH.
Approaching cold front will bring good chances of rain and thunderstorms into the forecast Sunday afternoon into Sunday night, but here today, beautiful weather in the forecast. It will feel like summer with sunshine and high temperatures at 91, partly cloudy tonight, low near 71. Clouds increasing tomorrow, showers and scattered thunderstorms in the forecast. Some of those could be severe at 86. A little cooler for Monday as showers diminish and a high near 80. Richard Duetic at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCDM.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
For breaking news and local coverage, turn to Fox News and the WCBM Maryland News Center. And stay tuned for stimulating talk throughout the day. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade by sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot,
hey, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest on the line. Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good. Marty Gary, Maryland Department of Natural Resources fishery ecologist. Did I say that right?
You did indeed.
How about that? I have a pretty good memory. Sometimes. How you been?
I'm doing well, and I had hoped to call in last week, obviously, and Mother Nature threw us a curveball. We had to delay our tagging.
Well, that's all right.
The diamond gem fish, but we finally got them in the water, and we're so excited now. And
you mean out of the water and then back in the water?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sounds like you had a pretty good day.
They did. Normally, we've had in the past few years, we struggled a little bit in May trying to find the fish. You know, those resident fish, the smaller ones, 18 to 26 inches or so, that we like to tag because mm-hmm. they stick around. They're scattered a good bit. They haven't quite gotten into their summer pattern, but two captains we had out there, Chuck Howells on Killing Time at a Breezy Point Marina, and Drew Payne on the Worm at a Chesapeake Beach. They did a phenomenal job working with our biologists, and got 200 fish on the nose tagged out there.
Wow, 200 diamond gems, yeah. All of them worth something.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, there's $500 a piece on those imposters, right?
Correct.
And then there's one diamond gem for 10 grand.
Exactly.
Ooh, pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool.
A nice little green tag. Hopefully it's very, I think over the years people have gotten the message to leave that tag intact.
Yep.
If you catch it, don't cut it and pull it out.
It looks like a little piece of green spaghetti sticking out the fish's belly.
Yes.
Yep. Call that number.
Yep. So, you know, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. So hopefully a lot of people will be in the water. Maybe we'll get a couple calls on that hotline.
That'd be neat. Yeah.
Get them checked in. Plus, it's a free fishing day today.
Free fishing day. That's exactly right. Entire weekend or just today?
Just today, the first two Saturdays.
First two Saturdays of June and then the 4th of July. That's right. Yeah. Didn't mention that earlier. So we.
Yeah, so if there's any reticence to go out there, and you know, folks, you're listening in, you don't have your license yet, get out there and fish today. Maybe hopefully you'll buy one. And
yeah. Go fishing for free today. It's going to be a nice hot day. Take the kids, get down the local water, and cast a line if you have to. Why not? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, sounds good.
Get some worms and some bobbers and go fishing.
Sounds great.
I'm ready.
Yeah, and maybe one, you go get out there with their family, catch a citation.
Well, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Catch and release citation, whatever it might be, get entered into the contest. Which I think I don't know if you've looked at our counter recently, but
I haven't.
Yeah, it's we're approaching 1,000.
Really?
It's a little short of that.
Somebody used to send me the list.
Yeah. They're coming in so fast.
That's good.
but honestly, Alan, I think this time last year, maybe it's not fair to just compare it to last year, but I think we might have had a little more than maybe half of that.
So right.
It's not quite, but it's nearly double.
Yeah.
I don't know what quite to attribute that to. Maybe this past season was pretty good in terms.
Well, I think maybe we've had what quote a normal spring this year.
Mm-hmm.
And now I got a question for you. Now I've asked you this question before. When a fish is in closed season and you catch it and release it, is it still eligible for a citation?
It still is eligible for a citation through the catch and release. And I think one of the things I thought about, after we discussed that at first was, the two examples that jump out are striped bass.
Right.
And
largemouth and smallmouth bass.
Largemouth, right. So you could theoretically get a catch and release citation for a fish, for instance, say up in the flats fishery when it's open. That's
right.
Possession, but you can still catch and release legally
right.
in the areas that are legally open.
Well, I was just thinking about your director.
My director?
Yeah, the fisheries director.
Okay.
The 21-inch smallmouth bass.
Well, I think the answer to that is...
I think you saw that picture.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome fish. I've seen you with a few of those. Nice too.
Nothing like that one. I know that one was 5 yeah. pounds and 13 ounces, so that was a big
fish. I talked to Don a little bit about that, too, as our inland director. You know Don. And,
yeah.
And that one kind of falls into the same category. If it's closed to possession, you can still catch and release the fish, still take the photograph.
Right.
And get the citation that way. You can't
right.
have a kill
right.
citation. You can still get the catch and release component.
Next time I talk to that guy, I think I'll ask him if he actually filed for a citation. That would be that would be terrific. So.
Well, that was a beautiful fish, and I've seen several others that you've had up that way.
Yeah, we've always had that good one day a year, which is very I look forward to that the entire year. So that's good. So anyway, we're kind of getting off the mark here. Let's talk a little bit more about Diamond Jim. How was our striped bass season so far? How's it been? What have you heard? What's the word?
I think the word you've heard certainly from a lot of your anglers, and it'd be good to get your perspective too. But from the biologists that have been out doing the creel surveys at the various points of embarkment where folks are coming in,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's Sandy Point or the marinas,
right.
et cetera. The feedback was, of course, that it started off...
very bad, very slow.
Yeah, because of the wind principally, but it really wound up picking up nicely into week two, and honestly, up until about a week ago, it was still going pretty good.
Right.
In fact, the two captains that took the biologists out tagging this past week remarked, because we're in this split over and under right now, 118 to 28, and you can catch one over. Still catching a fair number of overs, the 28.
Right.
And so there's still some fish around, presumably males, optimistic males.
Right.
But in any event, it was pretty steady starting that second week, and it held most of the way through May.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what the final MRIP numbers are going to be.
Right. Now, let me ask you, are we through the Mayworm bloom yet, or is that still ongoing?
Well, I don't have a lunar cycle right in front of me, but I was talking to Keith and a couple others.
And the lunar cycle was full moon was last weekend, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it should be fading right now.
Or right.
Pretty much over, but it's a good remark that you made, because one of the two captains, Chuck Howells, had mentioned to me, he said, back that previous Wednesday when we were going to tag the fish, he said, it's not too bad that we're canceling this trip because of the wind, because these fish are chock full of the mayworms.
Chock full of mayworms, yeah, of course.
And so the bite would have been a little bit fickle, but it picked up pretty nicely, and I didn't hear anything from them in terms of,
now,
being gorged on them. And
now, our listeners, for fun, explain a little bit about what that mayworm bloom is. Tell folks what those mayworms are and where they live and why the fish eat them so voraciously.
Well, everybody, I think, in all your listeners, I think, are pretty familiar with what a bloodworm is.
Yep.
Mayworms, I'm not 100% sure because I'm a fish guy, but they're either one or a suite of different species of marine, what they call marine polychaete worms, bristle
okay.
worms.
Yep.
And that's what a bloodworm is. It's
right.
a large one. And these are much smaller. These are probably, you know, a large one might be an inch and a half or something like
right.
that. And they live in the sediments at the bottom of the bay, and they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere.
Right.
They're up in the creeks. They're out in the main bay. And they live almost the entire lifespan embedded in the sediment, the bay bottom. And they'll come out and emerge and spawn in the water column. And on the lunar cycle, presumably on the full moon, they seem to rise right to the surface. And under lights, you can see them around piers, or if you're out on the water coming in and you've got your boat lights on, you'll just see them just they're writhing through the water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a pretty
right.
amazing sight.
That's what they call the bloom.
Yes.
Right.
But they're a favorite food, as I mean, I think all anglers know. You know, bloodworms are probably one of the most popular baits to use through the ages.
Sure.
Almost all fish seem to like them, and there's a reason for it. And so they, you know, when these mayworms bloom, the fish, not just rockfish, white perch, all species, just take advantage of it.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's a pretty interesting phenomenon.
Indeed. And you know, people, you know, a lot of people know about it, but, you know, there's always folks out there that have never heard of a mayworm. So, you know, we just try to bring best information we possibly can. So, hey, Marty, we're going to take a short break. Can you stick with us, or you want to take off?
I can stick with you. I understand you've got a special guest.
We do.
Up.
We've got Carrie Kennedy coming up from the Coastal Fisheries. She is the Coastal Fisheries Program Manager. So we're going to be talking about flounder and tautog and tuna and sharks and all kinds of stuff offshore. So that's coming up the top of the next hour. So. Hey, there's a question. All right, Dale is calling us. Dale from Easton. He wants to talk with Marty. We'll get with him right after this very short break. It's only 2 minutes long. If I make it 2 minutes long, I tend to yak on about these. The Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish worth up to $10,000. Well, he's worth $10,000 or more. He's swimming in the Chesapeake just waiting to take your bait. Now, Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they're worth $500 times 200. Yeah, it's worth going fishing. Catch a rockfish with a bright green tag. Call the number on the tag. You might just have captured that $10,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and even Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center or check out the fishing rule book. Visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
For up-to-the-minute financial news that's right on the money, start your day with the Wall Street Journal This Morning, weekdays at 5, followed by the Wall Street Journal reports throughout the day, only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Tractor, yeah, I work these fields, sun up, sun down every day. I got a camo hat that says, get her done, and I believe in the American way. And I believe in God, and I believe I'll have a beer at the end of the day. 'Cause I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. A Remington 870 pump is in my pickup truck on the gun rack, and that's where she stays. I got a bumper sticker, says there ain't no life west of the Chesapeake Bay. I drink Budweiser beer in the 10-ounce can. Us locals call it the Shore Thing. I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. I like the hog. Ducks and geese, I like the fish, fillet and release, I love everything.
All right. Get Bird Dog out of here. Still with me, Marty?
I am indeed.
Yes, indeed. You know Bird Dog?
Not real familiar with that one.
You don't know Bird Dog? He lives in Easton. He's down on the shore. He works at the Bud distributorship down there. Let's talk to Uncle Dale. And why didn't you do that?
What?
Oh, I was talking to Jordan. We just bumped Marty off, so Marty, you're going to have to call back. I should have locked him in.
My question was for Marty.
It's your fault. Well, Marty will call back.
So you
want to hang on. How you doing anyway?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Question I have, Alan, talk about a catch and release, and when Marty calls back, maybe he can address.
Yeah. Okay.
For, you know, the species during the close season, like striped bass.
Right.
And the basses. What about the two species that are near and dear to my heart?
Hickory shad and American shad.
Again, there's a moratorium on them, but
I don't know
whether you're allowed. I'm not even sure there's any minimum size for that. So
yeah, we got in a little trouble with the red drum on that last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
With the no minimum size on that. So
I was just curious if there's any talk of. I mean, it's certainly legal to catch and release both American and hickory shad.
Hey, Marty, call back.
And it would be interesting to know if there's any provisions in there for those two species for the catch and release citation program.
Right.
So it's something that they might want to look into.
All right. Well, I think we got Marty back, I'm hoping. Is that Marty? Let's see. Yep, that's Marty. Okay. Marty, back? All right. Come on now. All right. We bumped him again. Now I dumped everybody. Well, Jordan, you really screwed up. Everybody's gone. We'll try Marty one more time. We're running out of time, but we'll try to get Marty back here to ask him that question. Too many buttons for me to press. So... While we're wasting time here and waiting for somebody to call back, maybe that is an interesting question. Even if the fish is closed, even if the season is closed, or there's a moratorium on the fish, is there still a possibility for a citation? Marty, call back one more time, and I won't touch any buttons. So here we go one more time, folks. Sorry about that. This is just. Embarrassing. You know, I just started doing this. No, you lock him in and let me do the talking and you do the button pushing. Marty, are you there?
I am.
I'm sorry. I bumped you off. I bumped you off twice. Dale had a question about the catch and release part of the fishing challenge in regard to his two favorite species, hickory and American shad. Since there's a moratorium on those species, are they still eligible for a citation? There's a question for you.
Hmm. Yeah. So we've got American shad or white shad.
Yeah. If there is there a classification in the fishing challenge for them, or on the on the citation program?
Yeah, there's not at the moment.
Not, huh?
Okay. I mean, he's at Dale's.
Dale, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Natural release.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have them in there.
You don't have them in on the catch and release program. Dale's back, by the way, there, Marty. So.
Okay, awesome.
So, Dale.
Good morning to you, Dale.
Morning, Gary. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing
Marty,
well.
How are you doing?
Well, you are.
I have a question on your son and daughter. Still not talking to each other, or they've sort of kissed and made up?
Oh, come on now. What is this?
No, one's going to LSU and one's going to Alabama.
Oh, well, you know, that's...
I'm sure there's a little friction in the family.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well,
who do you root for, Marty, huh?
I try to stay as neutral as I can.
Ah, that's a good point. That's a good way to be. So,
but it was just curious, Marty, as to why you don't have provision for that, since it is still legal to catch and release both species.
That's a good question, Dale. I don't even recall the discussion coming up to bring them into the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And you, of course, were a long-time associate, that's the shad biologist for us. And, you know, in your own opinion, I mean, you're very familiar, obviously, with the studies, you know, that Rudy did and you guys helped out with for catch and release mortality, and it's very, very low for both of those species. So I guess properly handled with the pictures like we do others, it sounds like it might be a good candidate.
There you go. That might drive a little more interest too. And Marty, I gotta pick on you a little bit. When are you gonna lower that crab limit down a little bit to 8.5 or 8 inches for a citation? I mean, we're about at the max, aren't we? Nine inches for a blue crab.
Yeah, the issue is, Alan, when Brenda Davis and her colleagues ran the analysis to see how many might be eligible, I think you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
If you drop from 9 to 8, it kind of doesn't do justice to the citation.
Maybe right.
It's attainable, but it's an exemplary.
But you had two last year at 9 inches, and that's
right.
What, the second year, I think? So.
Yeah. And I think you can go to 8.5, and probably find a sweet spot. I don't know. I have to revisit that and see what the number is.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons why we stuck at 9 was it was a nice round number.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something we can...
I'll keep picking on you. So, all right. Well, guys, we're just about out of time here. I think the music's about ready to start. Ha! Amazing, isn't it? I'm one woman said one time, I said something to her, and she said, "You must have ESPN." And I said, "Yeah, that's right." So anyway, Marty, we thank you for joining us and helping us out there understand Diamond Jim a little bit. Dale, thanks for your question. There's the music. We've already got Carrie on the line, and we'll talk to her off the air, and then we'll come back after the news with Carrie Kennedy, and we'll talk about...